بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. آیا صدای من در جلسه هستش؟ اگر یه نکی از دوستانم بنویسه کافیه که من فقط بدونم صدام هست یا نه. بله، بسیار خوب. جناب آقای دکتر لگنهاوزن، من خدمت جناب عالی خیر مقدم عرض میکنم. بی نهایت متشکر هستم از اینکه دعوت بنده رو همجور دعوت همکاران ما در گروه فلسفه دین پژوهش علوم انسانی رو پذیرفتید و وقت خودتون به ما اختصاص دادید. خیلی خیلی ممنون هستم. میدونم که وقت شما عزیز و شریفه، لطف کردید. میدونم که شما قراره که سخنرانیتون رو به زبان انگلیسی ارائه بکنید، ما هم استفاده خواهیم کرد. با توجه به اینکه من همه اساتید رو برای حضار و برای فایل صوتی که ضبط میشه کوتاه معرفی میکنم، اجازه میخوام که یک دقیقه چند کلمه در مورد جناب عالی صحبت کنم و بعد در خدمت شما باشم. البته شما احتیاج به معرفی ندارید از جانب من. واقعیت مطلب اینه که شما به خاطر فعالیت علمیتون، به خاطر سابقه کاریتون، به خاطر مطالعاتتون، به خاطر تأثیری که در فلسفه دین در ایران، در فلسفه تطبیقی در ایران داشتید، احتیاج به تعریف ندارید. من مختصرا فقط عرض کنم که آقای دکتر لگنهاوزن به غیر از داستان زندگیشون که برای ما کمابیش شناخته شده هستش، شاید تأثیرگذارترین یا یکی از تأثیرگذارترین چهره ها در شکل گرفتن نوعی فلسفه دین اسلامی در ایران بودن و از این بابت ما به عنوان دانشجویان فلسفه این در ایران ازش متشکر هستیم. آقای دکتر، من در خدمت شما هستم، خواهش میکنم بفرمایید.
سلام علیکم، صدای من دارید؟ الو؟
علی آقای تو صداتون هستش، بفرمید.
من میخواستم یه پاورپوینت شیر کنم ولی شیر سکرین پیدا نمی کنم.
آقای دکتر سلام عرض می‌کنم خدمتتون. این پاورپوینت اگه به پی دی اف تبدیل شده، یه علامت به اضافه از اون پایین، اون علامت به اضافه کلیک کنین، فایلتون رو بیارین داخل شیر بشه. دیگه شیر اسکرین هم نمی‌خواد.
چه چیزی؟ کدوم دکمه بزنم؟
فایلتون پی دی اف هست؟
اصلا صدای شما مشخص نیست.
آقای دکتر نکته اول اینه که فایل قالبش پی دی اف هستش یا پاورپوینت؟
پی دی اف.
اگه پی دی اف هستش، یه به علاوه اون پایین میبینید، اون به علاوه هر که بزنید خود فایل رو میتونید شیر کنید.
چیزی نشون نمیده. این هر چیزی که میزنم فقط این Welcome to Big Blue Button میاد.
من تصور میکنم آقای دکتر که این پایین اینجایی که علامت میکروفون هستش، دست چپش اینو به علاوه میبینید.
پایین بله استاد، ممنون، همینه، درسته، به اضافه اونجاست. من پشت ماشین بودم، اون خاطر صدام خوب نمیومد.
معذرت میخوام.
استاد فایلتون رو به اضافه رو زدین، منیج پرزنتر رو بزنین که میگه فایلتون رو بیارید از اون جایی که هستش.
معذرت میخوام، وقت شما میگیرم. با این چیزها من خیلی وارد نیستم. الان نمیاد.
آیدون، فقط برای اینکه من مطمئن شم میگم، فقط این فایل باید پی دی اف باشه.
بله 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 الان میاد الان پیداش میکنم.
بله یه چیزایی داره میشه. بله بله Approaches to Islamic Philosophies of Religion پیدا شد.
چیزی میبینید؟
ما میبینیم. بله.
من نمیبینم. الان شد. بسیار خوب. معذرت میخوام. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. I would like to speak today with you about some approaches to Islamic philosophy of religion. Or approaches to Islamic philosophies of religion, and I put this in the plural on purpose because I want to suggest that there are various understandings of philosophy of religion that we can use in this regard. Before we can begin to examine the possibilities for an Islamic philosophy of religion, we need to consider what the philosophy of religion is and how the term was introduced. The term in German, Religionsphilosophie, philosophy of religion, was introduced by Hegel, who lived from 1770 to 1831, who lectured for a number of years on this topic. Using the heading Religionsphilosophie. So we would well to get a we would do well to get an idea of how he used this what he had in mind when he was using this term. And Hegel's lecture manuscript begins as follows. The object of these lectures is the philosophy of religion, which in general has the same purpose as the earlier type of metaphysical science, which was called Theologia Naturalis. This term included everything that could be known of God by reason alone, as distinct from positive revealed religion, a religion that is known from some source other than reason. So here we have two kinds of approaches to theology. There's revealed theology and natural theology. In Persian, it's oftentimes they divide the sciences into aqli and naqli. The transmitted sciences would correspond here to the revealed theology. But we're concerned here in philosophy of religion with theology that can be understood through the use of reason. Hegel took his term Theologia Naturalis, as did Kant, from Christian Wolff, who defended it as the science of those things which are possible through God, which is a terrible definition and not clear at all, the science of those things which are possible through God. Everything that's possible is possible through God. So this doesn't really say very much. Wolff contrasts natural theology, however, with revealed theology. The former proceeds solely by the light of nature. And here by nature is meant the natural abilities of human beings to use reason, where the latter is based on revelation or sacred scripture. The attacks on natural theology that were carried out by Kant, as well as Hume's skepticism, led to the widespread suspicion that natural theology or philosophy of religion was a failed project. The suspicion was reinforced among those who were skeptical about Hegel's absolute idealism and thought that philosophy of religion was necessarily dependent on the Hegelian system. So this led to a lot of skepticism about the philosophy of religion in Europe in the second half of the 19th century. Now, Pope Leo XIII, he took an important step to revive natural theology in his 1879 encyclical Eternae Patris, which encouraged the study of the philosophy of Thomas Aquinas for the purpose of defending the Catholic faith. So this is, people have this idea that Aquinas' philosophy was for centuries the official philosophy of the Catholic Church, but that's not true. It was only in the late 19th century that Aquinas received this attention, and the reason was it was a reaction against the widespread skepticism about philosophy of religion or natural theology, as it was understood in those days. In the early 20th century, there were a number of publications in the philosophy of religion, but it was not a thriving area of study. Rudolf Hermann Lotze published his Grundzüge der Religionsphilosophie in 1882, which is a slender volume of lecture notes, which continued to exert influence into the 20th century. Lotze's translator, G.T. Ladd, published his own philosophy of religion in 1905. In 1901, the Danish scholar Høffding wrote a Religionsphilosophie, which conceived of religion as resting on an axiom of the conservation of values. Høffding rejected belief in a personal God, and he also rejected the idea of personal immortality. There was an article by the famous Protestant theologian Ernst Troeltsch called Religionsphilosophie, included in an anthology, Die Philosophie im Beginn des 20. Jahrhunderts, which was published in 1907. There was a philosophy of religion by Galloway in 1914. Paul Tillich had a very important essay called Religionsphilosophie that was published in 1925. American Philosophies of Religion, by Wieman and Westcott, was published in 1936. Edgar Sheffield Brightman's book, A Philosophy of Religion, appeared in the 1930s. And numerous other works covering the same material also appeared during this period, but under titles other than Philosophy of Religion. It's during this period that we also see the expression philosophy, philosophical theology, being used as an alternative to philosophy of religion with much the same meaning, with the publication of Tennant's volume Philosophical Theology in 1928. Among the works that I've mentioned here, the book by Brightman is especially valuable. His book was published in 1940. And it gives a really good overview of work that was done under the title Philosophy of Religion prior to that, not only in English, but in several other European languages as well. Brightman writes, "In the main, however, this old distinction between natural and revealed theology has come to be largely ignored, especially among Protestant modernist theologians. With the breakdown of traditional standards of belief resulting from the growth of science and philosophy and from the application of scientific methods to biblical criticism, The idea of a dogmatic authority in biblical revelation has come to be widely challenged. For theologians who take this point of view, theology is a branch of philosophy of religion. That's an interesting point. In 1940, the idea that he had come to was because of the weakness of revealed theology. Theology itself was seen as a branch of the philosophy of religion. It differs from philosophy of religion simply in the nature of its starting point. For philosophy of religion, all religious beliefs and experiences of whatever sort or kind are considered the primary source material for interpretation. For theology, the historical beliefs of the theologian's own religious community are the primary sources. And this is also an important point, that it's assumed that the theologian is going to use the sources from his own religious community as basis for his arguments. If Brightman is right about this, it follows that Christian philosophy of religion is just Christian theology, and Islamic philosophy of religion is just another name for Islamic theology. But the topic is not so simple, because the philosophy of religion has taken its own varied courses in Muslim societies, whether in the West, in India, Iran, etc., which occasionally gives rise to rather idiosyncratic definitions of what Islamic philosophy of religion is about. So I found this book published in India recently called Islamic Philosophy of Religion. And the author himself introduces the work by saying, here in this book, by phrase Islamic philosophy of religion, I mean the approach of the Quran and hadiths toward religion, and the philosophical and the philosophy emanating from this approach, and also how it was viewed by Muslim philosophers and Islamic philosophers. In fact, as I understand Islam, it not only is religion, but it also contains a philosophy of its own, and it has got a scientific, democratic, and non-authoritarian attitude in finding or understanding truth and discovering moral values, and it stands for universal humanism, personality development, and the regeneration of society on the basis of social justice, human brotherhood, peace, and equal fundamental rights for all human beings as human beings. And that's the work of Jafar Hussein Laiwala. But that's rather idiosyncratic. Most people writing in the field, even in Muslim countries, would not agree with that interpretation. Now, there's another issue that comes up in Islamic countries, especially in Iran, which is where I am now, which is, what's the relationship between the philosophy of religion and the new theology, or Kalam Jadid, or modern theology? Modern theology, as it's understood in the West, for example, in the anthology of Ford on modern theology, is theology that was written in the from the 19th century onward. So it's mostly understood. Modern theology is mostly understood by Christian theologians as covering a specific time period. But in Iran, Kelami Jadid is supposed to cover specific topics that are different from the topics that are central in the philosophy of religion. The difference between the philosophy of religion and theology as practiced in the Muslim world is more of a difference in style than in substance, however. Topics treated under the rubric New Theology, or Kalam Jadid, include discussions of historical religion, the nature of prophethood, religious pluralism, religious experience, and the application of hermeneutics and other methods to Islamic texts. All of these and other topics in new theology could be given a philosophical treatment, and as such could be included in an Islamic philosophy of religion. Characteristic of both the philosophy of religion and Kalam-e Jadid as practiced in Iran today is that they demonstrate cognizance of both Western and Islamic traditions. And both are open to the expression of criticism, defense of traditions, and to the advance of new ideas. Now, here I have a what I thought was a very interesting quote from Eleanor Stump. Eleanor Stump is a rather well-known Catholic philosopher of religion. And I took this quote from her on the philosophy of religion in the Routledge Encyclopedia of Philosophy, which was published in 1998. And she says, philosophy of religion is sometimes divided into philosophy of religion proper and the philosophy and, and philosophical theology. This distinction between philosophy of religion and philosophical theology reflects the unease of an earlier period in analytic philosophy, during which philosophers felt that reflection on religion philosophically would be respectable only if it was confined to mere theism and abstracted from all particular religions. Everything else taken to be theology. And not philosophy. But most philosophers now feel free to examine particular individual religions. Not only are these doctrines and practices generally philosophically interesting in their own right, but often they also raise questions that are helpful for issues in other areas of philosophy. Reflection on the Christian notion of sanctification, for example, sheds light on certain contemporary debates over the nature of freedom of the will. So here, the idea that Eleanor Stump has is that there was a period of time in the early 20th century when philosophers of religion didn't want to examine particular doctrines such as Tawhid or the Trinity, but instead just wanted to consider, for example, proofs of the existence of God, because whether God exists or not is something that's common among the theistic religions. But as time has gone on, under the heading philosophy of religion, we find more and more discussions that make use of or that pay attention to specifically religious doctrines as they're advocated in one religious tradition or another. Contemporary philosophy of religion in the United States became an established area of study in analytic philosophy in 1978 with the founding of the Society for Christian Philosophers, and at the same time, the journal Faith and Philosophy, which has become one of the foremost journals in the philosophy of religion. Among the first presidents of the Society of Christian Philosophers were Alvin Plantinga and William Alston, and they set the tone, as it were, for much of the work that would be done in the philosophy of religion in the years following 1978. The focus was on epistemology. Both Alston and Plantinga defended externalist views in epistemology, what are called externalist views. That is, that you should have a method of forming beliefs that's reliable. And they rejected both coherentism and strong foundationalism and paid special attention to the role that religious experience would play in our ability to justify religious beliefs. Plantinga called his approach reformed epistemology because he belongs to the Reformed Church, which is a kind of Calvinist denomination. And this discussions of Reformed epistemology became a very important topic of discussion in philosophy of religion in the 1980s and 90s. The philosophy of religion, as it's practiced today, is usually understood to include much more than epistemological issues. So we have historical studies, that is, studies about Anselm, Aquinas, Occam, Avicenna, and others, discussions about the nature of miracles. There's discussion of the divine attributes, omnipotence, deity, omnipresence, omniscience, eternity, will, and freedom. There are problems of language. There's the proofs for the existence of God or the rationality of faith, cosmological, ontological, design arguments, fine-tune arguments, practical arguments, and also arguments that atheists raise against the existence of God are also examined. Religious ethics and values, and the problem of evil is still one of the topics of discussion in the plot of religion today. But now, instead of problem as was traditionally discussions about hell, sin, and there are newer topics such as spirituality, hope, prayer, religious life, and faith, and these are all given a kind of philosophical analysis or discussion in contemporary works of philosophy religion. Now, special topics in Islamic philosophy of religion, if we use the same pattern, could be something like this. There will be historical studies in which we will discuss the ideas of Avicenna, Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi, Mullah Sadra, etc. We can have discussions of Ijazi Quran, the miracle of the Quran, discussions of divine attributes, of the doctrine of Tawheed in Islamic theology, Wajib al-Wujud, the concept of Wajib al-Wujud in Hikmat in Islamic philosophy, Wahdat al-Wujud in Sufi thought, especially Ibn Arabi and his followers, divine actions and the attributes of action. These can all be special topics in Islamic philosophy of religion today. Religious language in Islamic sources is also a good topic for investigation. For example, the discussions of etibariyat, of these tropes or figures of speech that are used in applying a term that has its literal use in one place to another area. And we have the proofs for the existence of God or the rationality of faith are found in many, many, many works of in Muslim literature, and these can be given a philosophical analysis. Islamic ethics and values could also be considered a part of the philosophy of religion if it's approached in the proper way. And later I'll get to what is the proper way. Evil, in addition to the ordinary problems of divine justice, we can also have analyses of the role of Iblis in the evil of the world. Islamic moral psychology, what is it that makes people disobey God? And there are newer topics that can also be understood as ideas to be discussed in Islamic philosophy of religion, including Islamic political theology, the idea of expectation of the return of the Imam of the Age, alayhi salam, prophethood, what's the nature of prophethood in Islam, discussions of Irfan and its relation to philosophy. All of these would be included in philosophy of religion as it's understood in contemporary Western analytic philosophy, but if this was extended and applied to Islamic traditions as well. Subfields in the philosophy of religion. Analytic philosophy of religion is primary but not exclusively Christian, and it's often but not always focused on epistemological questions. So here are some other areas. There are historical studies, questions about science and religion, religion and politics, religion and aesthetics, metaphysics, epistemology, ethics, and religious language. A comprehensive Islamic philosophy of religion will need to address some such broader range of issues. I'll give some examples. Metaphysical issues in the philosophy, in an Islamic philosophy of religion might include discussions of divine unity or tawhid, Islamic teachings, for example, Islamic teachings about free will, Muslims' views of the soul, the spirit, mental and the corporeal. Yesterday we had two days ago, there was a conference about the ideas of Ayatollah Misbah, and we also had some sessions in which we discussed the nature of the soul, and I made a presentation defending the views of Mullah Sadra, and Ustad Fayazi criticized this. And this is a good example of a kind of discussion that would be constitutive of Islamic philosophy of religion today. What metaphysical grounding is provided in Islamic philosophy for specific religious teachings? This is a big question in the metaphysical aspects of Islamic philosophy of religion. Also, epistemology, of course, remains a central case. First, we can examine Muslim religious texts, including the verses of the Quran and the works of the Mufassirin, the Tafsir, and Hadiths, with the aim of trying to develop a philosophical account of the epistemological concepts that are contained in these works, such as what's the nature of reason, knowledge, ignorance, belief, doubt, certainty. All of these require philosophical elaboration. Second, we can examine the works in the Islamic sciences, for example, works in Kalam, Usul al-Fiqh, Irfan, and Hikmat, or Islamic philosophy, for the same purpose. That is, we can examine the works of the, for example, the Usulin, and try to understand what's the concept of certainty that's central in works of Usul, and how can that be given a philosophically defensible definition. Finally, we can consider explicitly epistemological discussions by various Muslim authors, whether contemporary or older. Islam and aesthetics as philosophy of religion. Aesthetic questions are philosophical questions pertaining to beauty, the arts, aesthetic judgment, and the appreciation of beauty. As with ethics, aesthetics can be either normative or descriptive. That is, we can ask how a particular group of Muslim thinkers thought about beauty, and we can critically evaluate such thinking and advocate a philosophical exposition and defense of a theory of beauty that seems more harmonious with Islamic teachings as found in the Quran and Hadiths. On a metaphysical level, one could ask about the nature of beauty itself, of divine beauty, and how it's related to creaturely beauty. There are epistemological questions raised about how we can recognize beauty according to Islamic teachings and within Muslim traditions, and including the relevant literature. There are also moral questions about how art and beauty can be used for purposes or in coordination with Islamic teachings, and more general issues about the relation between language and metaphorical and other uses of language. We might also consider phenomenology of Muslims' aesthetic experiences. For example, some of these, this kind of work can be found in the writings of Navid Kermani. And this can also be given a philosophical analysis and be a part of the philosophy of religion. So while Kermani's work in general is more trying to express his own attitudes towards how a Muslim would look at, for example, at Christian art and be able to appreciate it, but this can also be given a philosophical analysis as part of an Islamic philosophy of religion. Religious language and logic in Islamic philosophy of religion. The concern here is not on what Muslim authors have written about logic per se, but with logical issues in the philosophy of religion specific to Islamic thought. We could ask about the role of reason in Islamic theology, philosophy, jurisprudence, and other Islamic sciences, and how that role is justified. What are the sorts of arguments that Muslim authors have used to defend their religious views? How can the type of reasoning involved be classified? How do Muslims view semantics of religious language? The difference between exoteric and esoteric interpretations of the Quran, for example, and the forms of inference used in religious argumentation, whether it's theological, juridical, philosophical, or mystical. From the 20th to the 21st century, there have been various shifts in focus relevant to the philosophy of religion. And here I'm just going to take as an example the changes that have occurred in epistemology. And here I'm focusing on epistemology in the analytic tradition. 20th century epistemology was concerned with these issues. This is just what comes to mind. The definition of knowledge was certainly a central issue. The Gettier problem, the controversy about foundationalism and coherentism, theories of justification, causal theories, reliabilist theories, virtue theories, the internalism-externalism debate, the discussion of Wilfred Sellers' myth of the given, as he called it, whether sense data gives us information or whether we need to add to it to get some kind of interpretation to make it intelligible. Religious experience and constructivism was also a topic that was much discussed, especially because of the works of Katz. And skepticism, of course, skepticism has always been a major topic of epistemology. Now here, I'm not talking about epistemology only in the philosophy of religion, but epistemology generally. Now, in the 21st century, here are some of the new topics of epistemology. Timothy Williamson has a program called Knowledge First Epistemology, which has received considerable attention. There's evidentialism. Several books have been published on this topic. Pragmatic encroachment, formal epistemology, experimental philosophy, feminist epistemology, contextualist versus relativist semantics for the interpretation of epistemological claims, when somebody says I know or I'm sure. The social epistemology, that is epistemology involving testimony, trust, or what is known by corporate entities. What does some corporation know about different things? What does it mean to say that a corporation knows? Peer disagreement, epistemic authority. There have also been discussions of Bayesian epistemology, epistemology based on credibility assessments. Understanding is a big issue in the 21st century. How are we to analyze understanding? What's the difference between understanding and knowing? Neuropsychological studies about belief formation, evolutionary theories of belief, etiology, and resultant skepticism, virtue epistemology, the epistemological significance of the emotions. These are all relatively new topics about which there's a lot of discussion in epistemology. Now, my prediction is that in coming years, we're going to see more and more people in the philosophy of religion who are interested in epistemological issues in the philosophy of religion turn to these topics, but make them specified to their relevance to religious beliefs. So that's my big prediction, is that in the future, we're going to see these new topics. And I just gave epistemology as an example, but also in metaphysics and other areas. These are where the new topics are going to come from in the philosophy of religion. Many, if not most, of the newer issues in epistemology have not caught on yet significantly in the philosophy of religion. So it's likely that as the 21st century continues, more and more of the newer topics in epistemology will attract the attention of philosophers of religion, including Muslim philosophers. And this is how we're going to see a development of Muslim philosophy of religion. And this is one of the reasons why I wanted to say that we can have Islamic philosophies of religion, because different Muslim writers with different backgrounds are going to approach these issues naturally differently. Recent philosophy of religion, however, while continuing to debate epistemological issues, has turned to other areas of investigation. So, for example, in this companion to the philosophy of religion by Blackwell that was recently published, we find this was published in 2010, and it's the second edition. But it has a number of new articles. And just to mention a few of the other areas of investigation which have attracted attention are practical philosophy in relation to religion. How does practical reasoning apply to religious ideas? Non-Western religious ideas are finally coming to be studied under the philosophy of religion, and this is very challenging for people who were working within a generally Christian framework when doing philosophy of religion. Now there's questions about if we start including religious traditions of China and other places, to what extent can this still be considered philosophy of religion, or should we give it another name? And there are questions about analytic theology, feminist philosophies of religion, religious phenomenology, the analysis of religious faith, alternative models of divinity. This is not really a new topic, but it periodically gains attention. So, for example, there's classic concepts of divinity in which God is omnitemporal or atemporal, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. These have been challenged, and there are different ideas of divinity. For example, some Christian theologians have proposed that God is not omniscient because he doesn't know what we're going to do when what we do is a matter of our own free choices. And that kind of view has a certain following under the name of open theology. There's also discussions of religious hermeneutics. Muslim philosophers of religion are already making contributions in areas such as these. The percentage of Muslim philosophers working on issues related to the philosophy of religion appears to be much higher than their representation in international forums, such as this anthology by Wiley Blackwell. For the philosophy of religion, although it's increasing significantly. So, for example, in Iran today, there's many, many, many works that are published about the philosophy of religion. Many different analyses, but they're not translated into English for the most part. And so in the international fora, the Iranian contributions to contemporary philosophy of religion are often neglected. But things are changing, and gradually there's more interaction taking place. Finally, we can return to the question of what constitutes Islamic philosophy of religion and whether it is distinct from Islamic theology and Islamic philosophy. So the first way that people like to make these distinctions is on the basis of method. Philosophy today, however, does not have a specific method. In general, its methods are argumentative, and often it's claimed that philosophy appeals to the authority of reason, while theology depends on revealed truths. But the distinction is not exclusive. That is, there are revealed truths that agree with what reason would support. And the methods used in works that are recognized by nearly everybody as philosophy of religion vary very widely. So if we look at what's known as continental philosophy of religion, for example, it's much different in style and method than what you find in analytic philosophy of religion. And even in the works that are written in Persian about philosophy of religion, there's a significant difference in style between those writers who are coming out of the Hoze and those who have a university background. And furthermore, it's unlikely that Islamic philosophy of religion will distinguish itself from other tendencies in the philosophy of religion simply because of method. So I don't think that we're going to find that in Islamic philosophy of religion, as opposed to, for example, Jewish philosophy of religion, that the difference between them would be focused on what methods they use. Second, there's the issue of content. Works in the philosophy of religion tend to focus on a variety of issues pertaining to religion, as I indicated already. The subject matter of the philosophy of religion is constantly changing. New topics are taken up, and topics that were once the focus of attention fade into the background. What the discussions have in common is only a philosophical treatment of religious issues. Islamic philosophy of religion is distinctive here in that it is devoted, in that it devotes attention to religious teachings that are unique to Islam. But at the same time, it treats issues common to several religious traditions. And finally, what I think is a neglected aspect of this problem of how to understand the difference between philosophy of religion and theology is history. What links Islamic philosophy of religion to the philosophy of religion more generally and to Islamic intellectual traditions is citations, the history of discussions, and similarity of discussions across these bibliographical chains of reference. So when we look at people who are writing about the philosophy of religion, Muslims who are writing about the philosophy of religion, some of them we will find are referring to the philosophical tradition of Islam. So they're referring to Mullah Sadra and Avicenna and others, while other writers are primarily concerned with the Mutakallimin, and they're drawing on that tradition. We will also find Muslim writers in philosophy of religion who are trying to answer questions or challenges that arise from other points of view, for example, Marxists. So Allama Tabatabai, when he's trying to defend an Islamic point of view, he wants to defend it against challenges that come from Marxists. And this is also a kind of philosophy of religion, which takes into account discussions of religion in various philosophical contexts. Philosophy of religion as philosophy of theology. I think that maybe philosophy of religion is a misnomer. It's not a very good term, or not a very precise term, and it might be better to call it philosophy of theology. The reason I have for suggesting this is not something I'm sure of. I wouldn't bet money on it, but it seems to me reasonable. If we look at, for example, the philosophy of physics or the philosophy of chemistry, these are areas in which philosophical claims or philosophical questions are raised about these various sciences or philosophy of law. But in philosophy of religion, we're not concerned with all of the areas of religion. It's mostly with the dogmatic claims of religion. And the questions are how we should understand these claims and how they can be supported. The philosophy of religion does not concern itself with all the aspects of religion. Its focus is on creeds, the beliefs by which one defines oneself as an adherent of a religious view. One will not find treatments of the social functions of religion, religious institutions, for example, rights, hierarchies, etc., in works of philosophy of religion. Maybe there are some exceptions, but in general, I think this is true. The philosophy of religion also omits discussions of pastoral care, what Christians call pastoral care, what the relationship should be between a spiritual guide and the people whom he's guiding, or the support groups that Muslims form to commemorate various personalities and events. So, for example, in Iran, there are people form what they call a hay'at, which is a group, and they can be developed for example, commemorating the birthday of the 12th Imam, alayhi salam. What is discussed are the beliefs and the arguments that are held about these religious phenomena. To the extent that the philosophy of religion treats religious history, for example, it is not offering an account of what happened, but rather it's assessing the views expressed about the history. It's not the historical phenomena that are reviewed, but beliefs about the phenomena and their significance. The philosophy of religion might have better been called, in view of the philosophy of theology. Now, if that's right, then what would that make Islamic philosophy of religion? It is a philosophical discussion of the theological issues of Muslim doctrine and values, and not the other elements across the spectrum of Islamic life that are addressed under the heading of the philosophy of Islamic philosophy of religion. Of course, there are many more topics about which we could expect further discussion in the philosophy of religion than those traditionally discussed by the Mutakallimin. In the course of the 21st century, we're already seeing an increasing participation in these developments by Muslims. And I'm going to make another prediction that this increased Muslim participation in philosophy of religion in English will have a permanent effect on the field through the introduction of historical figures and debates, specific topics for investigation, such as the nature of divine revelation, and reconceptualization of areas that have already been discussed and their contextualization in the Islamic sciences. So these are all elements of Islamic philosophy of religion as I see them developing. And as I mentioned, I've been participating in this Congress about the thought of Ayatollah Misbah for the last 3 days. And it's a good example of Islamic philosophy of religion is to be found in the various, in many of the various papers and presentations that I was able to benefit from over the past few days. If you have any questions or comments, I'm at your service.
آقای دکتر خیلی متشکر هستم. معذرت میخوام. من به زبان فارسی از شما تشکر میکنم به دلیل اینکه احیانا اگر که در شرکت کنندگان کسی هست که میخواد به زبان فارسی سوالشو بنویسه یا سوالشو بخونه، باب این باز بشه برای اینکه راحت تر باشیم برای سوالتون. اساتیدی که تشریف دارن، همکاران، دانشجویان محترم، اگر میخواید سوالتون رو به زبان انگلیسی بپرسید یا بنویسید، به هر حال لااقل حدود نیم ساعت فرصت داریم. آقای دکتر اکرمی، اگر شما میخواید سوالی دارید یا مطلبی دارید میخواید شروع کنید، بفرمایید.
متشکرم آقای دکتر اصفهانی، فقط برای شروع بحث و برای اینکه به سکوت نگذرونی. سلام دکتر پروفسور لگنهاوزن، very nice to hear from you again after a long while. We met last time at EMU University, if you remember me. Thank you so much for this very general overview of the history of philosophy and also the contemporary issues, and also setting the tone for a contribution by Muslim philosophers and Muslim thinkers to the fields of the philosophy of religion. That was very, very interesting to me. One general question that I would like to raise here is the following. You started with Hegel, in whose thought we saw a kind of emphasis on theologia naturalis, kind of revealed theology versus rational theology, and a kind of understanding that philosophy of religion, at least in his mind, tends to be more along the lines of natural theology, which had already been there. And one may wonder, when Hegel started to talk about philosophy of religion, perhaps for the first time, as you also mentioned, what kind of exact difference does he have in mind, or did he have in mind when he started to kind of launch, so to say, a new enterprise, being philosophy of religion as distinct from rational theology or natural theology, which had already been there. So I would like to start with that question, but come to a kind of more contemporary concern, and that is my general concern with what is called Islamic philosophy of religion, and you talked about philosophies, Islamic philosophies of religion. The main concern of mine is the following. I can see that starting from that point, even towards our time, there is still a kind of overlap between philosophical theology and philosophy of religion, as you also pointed out with respect to what Eleanor Stump wrote in her book published by Routledge, 1998 perhaps. So we can see that kind of mixture or overlap or ambiguity is still there. But there has been a kind of attempt, a very conscious attempt by many philosophers of religion, most of whom being believers themselves in one way or another, including Huntington, Alston, John Hick, Swinburne, and many, many others, who had this kind of theological background, but at the same time, they make a kind of conscious attempt to make their enterprise, being philosophy of religion, to be more independently and purely philosophical than theological, although the line of demarcation becomes quite blurred here, but still we can come to a common understanding that there is a line of demarcation. So my concern is whether or not you have been able to see a lot of good efforts among Muslim scholars to go along that line rather than being stuck with what we already have, which is Islamic theology proper. Thank you so much. Was my question heard, Professor Legenhausen? آیا دکتر اصفهانی سوال من شنیدید؟
ما صدای شما رو شنیدیم. تصورم اینه که شاید آقای لگنهاوزن هنوز شروع به صحبت نکردن، یا شاید مثلا میکروفونشون رو خاموش روشنی بکنن. اگر که دارن صحبت میکنن صداشون رو نمیشنویم. من فکر میکنم
احتمال سوم اینه که سوال انقدر پرت بود که ایشون از کلان از مرحله پرت شد.
گفتم جواب. نه اینطور که نبوده که. آقای دکتر لگنهاوزن اگر که شما تشریف دارید و صحبت میکنید ما صداتون نمیشنویم، ممکنه مشکل فنی باشه اگر اینجوری. بله.
اوکی. I use the famous trick of turning it off and on again. Before I gave this lecture tonight, I practiced on some of my colleagues here at the Imam Khomeini Education and Research Institute. And one of the reactions that I had from my colleagues was also about this question of the demarcation between philosophy and theology, or philosophy of religion and theology. And I would say most of my colleagues have the idea that philosophy of religion should be based purely on reason, what can be defended by pure reason alone, together with experience. So it's not like mathematics, but it's using reason plus ordinary experience, shouldn't include religious experience, just ordinary experience, and what can we prove on that basis. Whereas in theology, we're using revelation and inspirations of various kinds. And I think that in Iran, there's a people are still very much attracted to this idea that we have a clear demarcation between philosophical method, which is completely rational, and theological method, which makes use of scriptures, which would more or less correspond to the old distinction between theologia naturalis and theologia, the revealed theology. But I find, personally, I find this difficult to defend in view of what's commonly accepted today as philosophy of religion. So, for example, when I look at, there's a couple of books that have been published in the last 5 years or so about contemporary continental philosophy of religion. And there's no attempt by many of the continental philosophers of religion. They're not interested in giving proofs of having, you know, specified premises and what's the conclusion that we're going to come to through this. But it's more a kind of trying to reflect about the issues in the light of their own tradition, in the light of psychoanalysis, for example, and other factors, and reflect upon various questions that arise about the nature of religion, its history, its role in society. And the continental philosophy of religion is oftentimes concerned with social issues pertaining to religion, whereas in the analytic tradition, they're much more focused on specific beliefs. So I don't think that this idea of philosophy being specifiable by the method that it uses is very useful if we want to include the most important works that are generally accepted today as philosophy of religion. And of course, one of my colleagues responded by saying, who cares what is generally accepted today as philosophy of religion? We're going to define philosophy of religion as based on reason alone, or reason plus experience. And theology is different because it uses revealed sources. And that's okay. I mean, people are certainly free to define terms as they like. But what I was doing in this presentation was trying to understand how terms are understood, how the terms philosophy of religion are understood. And that brings me to the first question that you asked about Hegel. Before Hegel, we find the subject matter of philosophy of religion. We find the subject matter of philosophy of religion goes back as far as there have been discussions about religion from the ancient times. But with Hegel, we find he's giving lectures under the heading philosophy of religion. Why? Well, Hegel is responding to the doubts that Kant had raised about whether it makes any sense to give a justification for religious beliefs on the basis of speculative reason or on the basis of theoretical reason. So Kant's position was that theoretical
آیا دکتر صداتون رفته؟ حالا نمیدونم مشکل از چیز قابل تغییریه از اینترنته، ولی تصور میکنم که ما در جمع صداتون نداریم.
آقای دوست.
Hello, I'm back again. Can you hear me? Okay, I'll try again. So Hegel was responding and criticizing Kant. Hegel wanted to say that theoretical reason and practical reason cannot be kept separate from one another in the strict sense that Kant wanted to. Now, Hegel, although he rejected the rejection of philosophy of religion, as it were, or proofs for the existence of God that Kant made famous, Hegel was so interested in this topic that the last book that Hegel wanted to write, but he died before he could write it, was about the proofs for the existence of God. And he wanted to defend a proof for the existence of God based on the analysis of being as infinite. And I've recommended to my students that somebody should do a comparison between Hegel's proofs for the existence of God and what we have in later Islamic philosophy under the name of the Burhanus Siddiqin. I think there's lots of places for a fruitful comparison there. So the title, Philosophy of Religion, for Hegel was a kind of polemical title to use, was to say that we can have a theoretical philosophy of religion and defend religious beliefs on the basis of reason and experience, especially as we look at the dialectical progression of history, according to Hegel. He thought that this would confirm religious beliefs and that we didn't have to restrict ourselves to only practical considerations. On the other hand, Hegel did not think that we could just go back to the kind of natural theology that they had in the Middle Ages. Hegel thought that Kant's criticisms of the tradition were correct, but he thought that Kant drew the wrong conclusion from those criticisms. The conclusion, for example, in Anselm's proof for the existence of God, Anselm starts with this idea of God and asks whether God only exists in the mind or exists in the external world as well. And he would be greater if he exists in the external world as well. And God is defined as the greatest thing, so he must be in the external world. And Hegel agrees with Kant, but that's a bad argument because the idea in the mind is only a form in the mind, and we can't define that in such a way that we're going to get existence. But, Hegel said, if instead of just talking about a form in the mind, we're talking about a concept, something that shows some aspect of reality, and follow up how that concept develops, then we can revive Anselm's argument. So this was the kind of polemical idea behind Hegel's introduction of the term philosophy of religion. But in the presentation that I offer tonight, I'm mostly concerned. You can find this in various aspects with how terms are used. How do we understand, or how was the term philosophy of religion used? So one of the reasons why I like that book by Brightman that was published in 1940 or 1936 or something, was that Brightman was concerned with finding books that were written under the title philosophy of religion, or that had philosophy of religion somewhere in the title. And and also when I was looking at different concepts of philosophy of religion, I'm mostly concerned with what kind of bibliographies are being used. Now, I'll tell you a story. When I was a student, a graduate student, I found that we were studying philosophy of religion in the philosophy department, but in the religious studies department, which was right upstairs, they were also studying the same issues, exactly the same issues, but the sources they were using were different. So the people in the religious studies department were using the works of theologians and asking how the theologians thought that they could prove the existence of God by using reason, of course, whereas the philosophers were more
آقای دکتر صداتون دوباره رفت. نمیدونم چی شد. همون کاری که دفعه قبل انجام دادیم باید بکنیم که ما صداتون رو بشنویم.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Hello? بله.
I'm sorry about the internet. But what can we do? I hope you found something that was comprehensible.
در صورت ما همه رو شنیدیم، فقط یه شاید مثلا 30 ثانیه 10 یا 20 ثانیه آخر قطع شد.
I only wanted to say that in this presentation that I'm giving tonight, I was just focusing on how terms are used. So I'm not really I wasn't addressing the issues of philosophy of religion, for example, proofs of the existence of God. We could go through the whole history of philosophy examining the proofs. But what I'm interested in, for the sake of tonight's presentation, was how the term philosophy of religion, either in English or as it's translated in other languages, how that term was understood. And that's why my discussion of philosophy of religion only goes back as far as Hegel. It's not because there were no relevant discussions before him, but only that he was the first person I know of who was self-consciously using the term philosophy of religion or religionsphilosophy.
خب اگر که سوال دیگه ای هست ما در خدمت شرکت کنندگان محترم هستیم، اگر نه من تصور میکنم که بایستی تشکر کنم دوباره از آقای دکتر لگنهاوزن. آقای دکتر خیلی ممنون هستم از قبول دعوت ما، از وقتی گذاشتید.
سوال ندارم یعنی پرسید
چی؟ بفرمایید آقای دکتر، بفرمایید.
چون کسی سوالی نمی‌کنه. دکتر لگنهاوزن، a kind of peripheral question so to say. It was interesting to me to see perhaps for the first time that a discussion on Islam or any other religion for that matter and aesthetics was also included in your understanding of the philosophy of religion. Of course, morality, ethics, those things are normally perhaps, if not often, taught and studied under the philosophy of religion. Relationship between religion and morality, ethics, those are at least in some textbooks. But I haven't come across, at least I don't remember, any textbook of philosophy of religion including a chapter on religion and aesthetics from a philosophical point of view.
Yes, you're right. So the way that I came to this was not only by looking at the works that have been published in the areas, but I just thought, well, what are the main branches of philosophy? And each of those branches, main branches of philosophy, can be applied to questions in the philosophy of religion. So we get metaphysical questions about religion, epistemological questions about religion, and then, yeah, ethics, aesthetics, linguistic, all of these kind of things could be, at least potentially, included in a philosophy of religion if philosophy is understood in a broad sense that includes metaphysics, epistemology, aesthetics, and ethics. But you're right. I mean, it's not the standard usage. The standard usage focuses on epistemological questions for the most part.
آقای دکتر صادقی بفرمایید.
هلو
آقای دکتر صادقی میخواستن یه سوالی بکنن. آقای صادقی بفرمید. اگر صحبت میکنید صدایتون ما نمیشنویم. اگر که میخواید بنویسید که در خدمتون هستیم. من روی آیکون اسم شما میبینم که در واقع میکروفون ندارید. حالا یا واسه برید بیرون دوباره با میکروفون بیاید، یا اینکه میکروفون مشکلی داره. به هر صورت اگر که میخواید خودتون بفرمایید بعد راه دیگه ای پیدا کنید، اگر نه که بنویسید. بسیار خوب، بسیار خوب. آقای دکتر لگنهاوزن، من مجدد تشکر میکنم. عرض کردم از وقت به ما اختصاص دادید، از ارائه بسیار
خیلی ممنون دعوت.
این ارائه که شما انجام دادید هم خیلی الهام بخش بود، هم دید عمومی خیلی خوبی میداد، هم بعضی از مسائل یا سوالای تاریخی رو روشن میکرد، هم یه نظری به آینده داشت. و من فکر میکنم که این ارائه به بنای مجموعه درسایی که در این دوره ارائه شد حتما خیلی اضافه کرد. خیلی ممنون هستم از لطف شما، از همکاران محترم، از شرکت کنندگان عزیز، دانشجویان محترم تشکر میکنم. انشاءالله ما فردا صبح ساعت 8 صبح با سخنرانی، اگر اشتباه نکنم، آقای تالیافرو در خدمت دوستان هستیم. خدا نگهدار همگی باشه و انشاءالله سلامت باشید.
خیلی ممنون. من هم تشکر میکنم و دعا میکنم برای توفیق همه شما.
متشکرم. ما متشکرم. خدا حافظتون باشه.
خدا حافظ.